Mini episode 604 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 604. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH dignitaries, talking pigskin with you for NFL Week 2. For Week 1, I was 7-8 on my picks overall, 7-8-1, I should say, with that early push. 2-1 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock. More about that in a second. Kyle was 4-2 overall. We went head-to-head on Monday night, and he prevailed. So, Kyle, congratulations. You're the guy who benched Megatron last week to play Travis Benjamin and got away with it by taking San Francisco on Monday night. So congratulations, I guess.
Ricky, after all these years doing the show, I would have expected some more humility out of you, quite frankly. Or maybe I shouldn't have been doing after the show with you all these years. But the bottom line is this. I'd say the real record should be Kyle Ross 1, public nil. But they kind of had their day on Sunday, I thought, and the books didn't do so well on Sunday, but they all got it. But they got it all back on Monday, and I did too with the 2-0 sweep as both home dogs went outright. And that felt very good and a very good start to the year. And I'm ready for week two here. Love the card just as much as I loved last week's, actually. I got 6 plays this week for you.
All right. Well, I know on Sunday there was at one point there when you were feeling a little bit odd about how your overall picks for the season were going to go. We had some weird things happen on Sunday, as we always
we'll
do
talk
for week
about
one.
That. We will talk about that. I have set a new record, by the way, in turning on a preseason pick after just one game. By the way, for those of you, for all our listeners, I'd like to make it clear what this is. This is our week two NFL picks podcast, where Rick Morris, just like his religion and his guns, he fearlessly clings to his preseason projections, and I immediately just scrap everything after one week. So there you have it.
Well, welcome to the Chargers and Cardinals bandwagon. I'm happy to have you. But
I don't like it. Hey, you know what? That's the only thing I still believe in, I think. So.
Yeah. Well,
I'm still not on that. That's the only thing I'm sticking to.
Well, this is a deal where, unlike the NFL, where they have their games in August here, we have no preseason for this kind of a thing here. So the pace of a full slate in 45 minutes is something we're still working our way into. So I am going to try to get out of your way as quickly as I can on each of these ones here. I can say that, unlike last week where we had the Labor Day holiday in there slowing things down, I do have my USA Today Sports Weekly. It hit the newsstands on Wednesday as per usual. So I'll be able to juice it up with that a little bit. We start, as always, with a game that most of you probably will not have had a chance to take in our predictions when you watch the game. The 1-0 Broncos at the 1-0 Chiefs Thursday night, 825 Arrowhead Stadium, CBS and the NFL Network, Nance and Sims on the call. Denver, this is a very, very strange line here. We go from a situation where Denver was weighing 1.5 to where they're getting 3 at this point. So there's been a swing on this one here. And, again, at the risk of jumping on board the public, I look at this. I think Denver's still got some things to prove at this point. Kansas City's got this whole pent-up motivation. They keep losing to Denver at home. And the gap between the teams is substantially closer in talent than it was at the start of this losing streak at home. Everything to me looks geared up for Kansas City to win outright on Thursday night. I'm going to take them laying the 3.
Did you check your email box this afternoon, Rick Morris?
I did indeed.
I just wanted to make sure. Did you see an email from me, by any chance?
I did indeed. Yes, I saw your notes.
Okay.
I'm sure you have some
thoughts here. I just wanted to make sure that you know that this is interesting when you look at, I'm sure the listeners go to different pages to check their lines and stuff. And the one that I go to, you'll know, which is just a basic thing. I'm not giving it a shout out or anything. It's pretty basic, just the SBR Forum odds page. It just has a lot of books listed, which is why I choose to go to that one. You'll see in the opening column, as you so astutely pointed out, it reads Denver minus 1.5, and it now reads Kansas City minus 3 across the board. This is not a sign of the public, though. What this is,
okay,
is the lines makers being the ones who have changed their tune. That opening line was the advanced number, which means that that's what you would have bet. That's the line you would have gotten had you bet early last Sunday afternoon, before these teams were even done playing their first game. I agree with the lines makers' assertion completely here. I hope that the listeners have a chance to listen to this podcast before Thursday. Maybe you could send out a tweet for me, Rick Morris, because I love this game.
Will.
It's my first. It is my first of six recommendations this week. I'm all on the Chiefs. You talk about their struggles at home. They haven't done much better in Denver either. They're actually 0-6 against the Broncos since Peyton Manning joined. But this is their time. We always talk about the road teams struggling in these Thursday games. I think there are clear signs of regression in Denver, although I think the record's going to be okay at year's end. I do, but this isn't the same offense it used to be. Kansas City's got a hell of a defense. This is the Chiefs' time to shine. Lay the 3, my first recommendation this week.
Excellent. I will tweet that out at the FDH Lounge. I always do so whenever you have a Thursday recommendation. And I do remember now from your email, you making the note that it wasn't the public here, but the odds makers. It makes me feel even better for joining you in that pick. On the Sunday games, we start with the 0-1 Texans at the 1-0 Panthers, 1 o'clock at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte on CBS. Greg Dumbel, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call. This is a game where the Panthers are laying 3.5. It was 4.5 at one point here. I am looking at this again. I think there's a little bit of overreaction in the line being what it is at this point. I don't see much difference between the teams here at this point. And as you know, I've never been a big believer in the automatic OMG, home team gets 3 points deal. I look at Brian Hoyer being replaced by Ryan Mallett, and I think, again, if you take out Brian Hoyer from last week's performance, Houston looks a lot different. To me, that's a call I never understood in the first place, going with Hoyer. So Carolina, I think, a little bit inflated from slapping around Jacksonville in terms of perception. I like Houston here with the hook. With the 3.5, I certainly like them to get underneath it, and I think they can win outright.
Couple things. I don't like this game, not playing at all. Not a fan of either team, quite frankly. I think it could be a very long year for Houston, quite frankly. But the smart money kind of agrees with what you said there, Ricky. People jumped on the Texans kind of quick in this one, and it looks like it's heading down to 3 at most places. A lot of places already have it at a flat 3. So if you like the hook, you better, and you like the Texans, you know, you better go now. I guess it is Ryan Mallett love that plays into that. Hoyer did look horrible. I suppose now that we've already talked about the Chiefs, I might as well get this out of the way. You know, when I watch all the games at 1 o'clock at once, I'm always trying to write off a few games so I can focus in on a selective group. The Chiefs Texans game was the first one I marked over last week. They'll probably play better, but again, I'm just not a fan of either team, and I'm not sure I actually agree with you or the smart money here on Ryan Mallett, who I've never been a huge fan of.
Interesting. Okay. Well, to me anyways, he's bound to look better than Brian Hoyer, and at least with that arm has a lot more upside than Hoyer. So we shall see how it plays out. We got up next here on the Sunday games, the 0-1 Bucs at the 0-1 Saints in that wonderful NFC South. 1 o'clock Eastern time from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and one-time lounge guest Jennifer Hale on the call on Fox. And this is a game where New Orleans is laying 10. It had been 10.5 previously. Again, we've talked about this before on the show. A lot of things are a reaction to week one. I get why it's a big line because of how horrific Tampa Bay looked. And I was wrong on picking them to win outright, obviously, last week against Tennessee. I don't get the residual love for the Saints. They didn't look very impressive at Arizona. They look like they still have a lot of issues here. This is almost a why ask why for me when I see it as a double digit one. If I believed it was a why ask why game, I would just I would lay the 10 with the Saints. I don't get how they're supposed to be 10 points better than Tampa Bay. I look for a little bit of a bounce back. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I do like the Bucs to get under the 10. I know that's a dangerous sentiment sometimes.
Well, you know what I referenced about turning on a pick after just 1 week?
Yeah.
The Bucs the Bucks stink. What was I thinking? 9-7, a playoff berth? Did you watch this team last week? I don't think it's going to happen. When I said best case scenario for Tampa Bay this year going 9-7, I had week one in the win column. They lost by 28 at home to Tennessee.
Right.
That being said, it is a double-digit division dog, and I kind of agree with a lot of what you said. One issue that New Orleans has that's new from last year is some red zone inefficiency now that Jimmy Graham is not on their team. They really struggled against Arizona in the red zone. Because I like them so much, I'm going to give them give them one last try, I guess. I love me some double-digit division dogs usually. Why not? Second recommendation of the week, Tampa Bay. And you can get them plus 11 still at 5 dimes. This line's bounced around a little bit. Open at 9.5, quickly went up to double digits. Now it's kind of – even went up to 10.5, like you said. Now it's back down to 10. 11's the best number, so if you like Tampa Bay, go to 5 dimes. That's what I'm doing here.
I think some of the perception with New Orleans, too, I'm going to borrow a term here from the political debate season. We hear about rhinos and in-name onlys. I'm coining the term Dabino, Drew Brees in-name only. This is a guy where, again, I think people think that this is 2009 Drew Brees in terms of public perception. He ain't, and he don't have the weapons anymore. I think that probably
feeds
into it.
Don't forget the Saints. We talk about this a lot in our preseason shows. No longer infallible at home. They lost their last 5 games at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome last year.
They did indeed, and that's something people need to be cognizant of. Next up, we have another divisional battle in the National Conference. It's the 0-1 Lions at the 0-1 Vikings, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Cast Lounge guest Sam Rosen on the call with Kirk Morrison and Peter Schrager. This is a game where the Vikes are just laying the straight 3 at home. If at first you don't succeed. I was on the Vikings last week. This is not going to be a recommendation, but I'm a little bit perplexed, even with how bad they look, as to how it's just the standard OMG home team must get 3 here. You would think that they would get a little bit more love than that. I like the Vikings to cover it in terms of a bounce back. I understand that the Lions, you know, if you looked at the first half last week, looked like world beaters, but, again, still issues with inconsistency here. If the Lions won outright, it wouldn't shock me to death, but I think the Vikes are going to bounce back, and I think this line's a little bit of an overreaction to how Minnesota looked Monday night.
Yeah, again, I'm going to respectfully disagree here. Not that I'm going with the Lions. I'm just going to respectfully disagree with your assertion on the line. I think it's a very fair line. The Vikings – did not look good last week. They looked even worse than I thought, and as you know, I'm not nearly as high on this team as many others are, yourself included. I am probably the only person in America who thinks they should not have brought back Adrian Peterson. I thought they could have got a king's ransom for him and continue to build the roster the right way. He's already complaining. I think that they kind of developed an offense without him last year that sort of worked, and now they're integrating him back in. It's going to be a learning curve. That being said, Detroit wasn't – they blew the big lead last week at San Diego. Both you and I had the Chargers. But that final score is a little misleading in that they weren't nearly as impressive as the score showed in the first half. I believe they had 2 non-offensive touchdowns in that game. I know 1 early in route to the 21-3 lead. So when you lose a game when you're up 21-3 and you have 2 non-offensive scores, that's bad. The Lions, we both had them regressing this year, and regress they will. But I'm not going to lay the points of the Vikings here. Pass.
All right. Taking a pass on that one here. Up next, the 1-0 Cardinals. My pick to win the National Conference this year at the 0-1 Bears. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Soldier Field on Fox with Tom Brenneman, Charles Davis, and Tony Siragusa on the call. This is a game where Arizona, a short road favorite, they're laying 2, had been 1.5 initially. The Bears, at least offensively, looking a little bit better than some people thought last week, and, of course, jumping out to that lead on Green Bay before surrendering it, largely because they are still the team we remember defensively. Defensively, they still have their issues. And, again, I'm on Arizona this year while not believing in them as an offensive juggernaut. But I think this is a situation where it's pretty ripe for Carson Palmer, I think, against this Bears secondary. Still working their way back from the depths of last year. Again, I'm going to defer to the macro, as I am going to be a couple times this week. If I pick Arizona to win their division, they got to win a game like this. So I think they will. I like Arizona weighing the two at Soldier Field.
I do not like Arizona nearly as much as you do this year. I think they're in my regression category. Of course, they were last year, and we all saw how that turned out. Nevertheless, you talk about Chicago's defense. Let's not forget they were going against Aaron Rodgers last week, who's always seemed to have their number. I thought they played really well. Because I had Chicago, and that was the only game in the 1 o'clock window that I had, believe it or not, I watched that game a great deal, and I really thought that the Bears were going to pull it out, at least a cover, if not the straight-up win. I'm coming back with them this week as another recommendation. I don't see John Fox losing his first two games at home, and, again, you want to talk macro, I don't believe in Arizona. I don't think, although they won last week, that my opinion of them changed one iota.
Okay.
I like the Bears.
All right.
The public, this is a rare time, by the way, that the public is all over Arizona, something we did not see very much last year. So I'd be a little scared if I was Bruce Arians.
Very interesting. Not believing in Arizona. All I can say is welcome to the Bitter Clingers Club, Kyle. We're happy to have you here. Up next.
I don't believe in Arizona.
Yes.
You're right. Yes, yeah. For the Bitter Clingers. Yes. Okay, gotcha.
I got you on that one. Next, it's the 1-0 Pats at the 1-0 Bills. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Ralph Wilson Stadium in Orchard Park on CBS. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call, and this game. Talk about again reactions to Week One. This is one where. The Pats were laying a point and a half. It is a pick'em at this point. And to be honest with you, I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know what? Throw out a lot of the preparation. I know Belichick had an extra 3 days, but the Tyrod Taylor he was expecting to see is not what got trotted out on Sunday. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? And the Bills' defense is even better than I thought it was going to be. So I'm thinking to myself at this point, short term, I'm going to be a little bit of a buyer on the Bills. I was set to go on the Bills until Rex Ryan went Rex Ryan and started running his mouth. And for a guy who, again, largely has gotten the short end of the stick against Belichick, you wonder, aside from one or two big games, you wonder if he's ever going to learn. And this is a situation where had he not poked the bear, I would have been on the Bills. I'm not under this circumstance. I like New England on the road, and I think Rex Ryan's just got to learn one of these days to try to sneak up on people. I realize it's going to be hard after what they did to Indianapolis last week, but, it's strictly because of his mouth that I'm going against them right now.
You know, it's funny that you were that impressed by the Bills. I don't know. I'm laying off. Because I am I'm taking a more cautious approach. I'm not sure if I was impressed by the Bills or if maybe that had something to do with the warts of the Colts, that we brought up and were willing to kind of gloss over in our preseason projections. Bills really going to open the year by going back-to-back over the Colts and Patriots, the two teams that were in the AFC Championship. Tyrod Taylor was a pleasant surprise. He didn't win them that game, though. It was the Bills' defense. You talk about the extra prep time. I'm laying off here. I almost went New England, but I'm laying off. So I guess there's a little bit of respect from both, a little bit added respect from both of us for the Bills. But I would be far less inclined to take them here.
Well, I can understand where you're coming from on that one there. And again, it's going to take a little bit more of at least September, if not further, to kind of play out and show what the real story is going to be in Buffalo. Up next, the 1-0 Chargers at the 1-0 Bengals. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Paul Brown Stadium in the Natty on CBS. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, and Evan Washburn on the call. This is a game where Cincinnati's just laying the standard 3 points at home. No real line movement to speak of here. Again, I talked about it with Arizona before. For my pick to win the AFC and to win the Lombardi Trophy this year, the Chargers, again, if they're going to win the AFC West, this is a game they got to win. And my opinion on the Bengals didn't change much from last week. My opinion that the Raiders may be, a poor team but not horrific has changed. Rarely, if ever, if you go back on this show, do I give the Raiders too much credit. I'm usually underrating them. As bad as they are, I usually think they're going to be worse. This year's the opposite. As bad as the Raiders are, they're worse than I thought they were. I'm not going to give the Bengals a whole lot of credit here. I understand all the circumstance. Oh, West Coast team, 1 o'clock game. The Chargers, once they got it going last week, showed you what they can do. San Diego Superchargers with the 3 points they won't even need. I like them Sunday in the Natty.
You are a Republican. You disregard a lot of things that make sense. You know, it's very interesting about you. I got no opinion on this game. Something else to point out with Cincinnati-Oakland is that Derek Carr left the game early, and the Raiders have nothing behind him. I mean, Derek Carr's not
right.
Exactly Tom Brady, but they have nothing behind him whatsoever at that position. So take that big blowout win with a grain of salt. I just got nothing here. I don't know. This, to me, was a game I got no take on whatsoever.
Don't blame you. It's one that's, again, I'm on San Diego for the macro, but if you're just looking at the
micro
level.
I figured you would be, but I believe in that early start time stuff, so yeah, that's why I'm laying off. I think they're a better team, too. I'll concede you that point.
Yeah, exactly. I know that the NFL being what it is, your opinion on San Diego, strangely enough, and mine are not too far off. You, I think, have them just missing the playoffs.
Yep.
I have them making it and coming out of the AFC. There's a fine line, and it's the same way with me in Kansas City. I have them just making the playoffs or just missing it. You have them making the playoffs, but I have a lot of respect for them. Two teams that I do not respect. How's that for a segue right here? The 1-0 Titans at the 0-1 Browns, 1 o'clock Sunday at, I will still call it, Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tom McCarthy and Adam Archuleta on the call on CBS. And this is a game where, again, another bit of a swing here. The Browns were going to be laying 3.5 points, are now getting 1 point. And, again, you talk about reactions off of week one. Keep in mind that the Browns were one of my big three picks to lose last week, so this is not me being a homer here. But this, even with Johnny Football in there, this smells like an overreaction. Mariota, I think, again, has to prove this, over at least the medium term. The Browns, again, they keep getting in this pattern defensively of underachieving. You look at the offense and you understand why they're not doing anything, because they don't have a lot of skill position talent. Defensively, they keep underachieving. So Mariota, again, could be ripe for another good day in that regard. That's a lot to put it on, though, because the Browns do have defensive talent, out there. I expect that it's going to be a rougher day for Mariota. Again, I like the Browns getting the one largely just because, again, I don't believe the stampede in Tennessee's direction. I don't believe that, again, I know some people disagree with me. Oh, Tennessee was just, they were better than their talent last year. I don't think they were.
Hold on.
Okay.
There's a big difference in the talent this year. They have Marcus Mariota at quarterback and not Zach Mettenberger, your boy.
That helps.
And here's the thing, you know else? And this is, I might be overreacting. Here's overreaction week two. Punting on the Bucks and their long-term prognosis. In the same vein, I'm kind of buying the Titans, Ricky. A rare agreement with a public line move by Kyle Ross. This is a recommendation on the Titans. The Browns are awful. They are awful. They are going to lose so many games this year. They're going to have the worst record in the league. Mariota's better than Johnny Football. And a lot of the same things, that factors that were pointing up for Tampa Bay this year, same thing with Tennessee. They were like 1-5 in close games. They upgraded the quarterback position. I'm telling you, in a division that stinks, Tennessee can fight its way to 500, and it continues with a win this Sunday in week two. Titans 2-0.
If it happens, this is going to be the worst the Browns have been since the days of Chris Palmer. It's going to be full on. Although, again, I don't have a problem
They're
with
awful.
Hashtag.
They're awful.
I don't have a problem with. Fail for Cardale. You know me. I'm all about fail for Cardale. But I'll tell you what. Again, Kyle, defensively, it remains inexplicable.
They stink, Ricky.
Kyle, there's plenty of talent defensively.
it's an instant. The Cleveland Browns are an institutional failure at all levels. I would be happy. I think we did one time when after they traded Trent Richardson. I would be happy to talk about what a disgrace this franchise is. And I'm going to say something right now that's going to throw you off for the rest of the podcast. Art Modell, greater than Jimmy Haslam. Thank you very much.
It's setting the bar low, but I don't necessarily disagree, such as my discussion with the Haslam regime. I don't necessarily, although, you know, I don't think Haslam's going to move them, but aside from that, you take the move out of it. I don't necessarily disagree, although, again, I would take the Browns getting the one this week. We'll see. Kyle, you want to be with Joe Public on this one? Be my guest.
Hey,
you're the one.
You're the one texting me how smart the public was right before the Steelers stuck him with a stun don't shine on that drive. I know. Hey, the public's got to be right a few times, and they were right a few times last Sunday, I know. I think including with some of the teams that we have yet to talk about here in the 4 o'clock window.
I think so. We got up next here on the 1 o'clocks, the 1-0 Falcons at the 0-1 Giants. 1 o'clock Eastern time at Life Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Kevin Burkhart, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call. This is a game where the Giants are laying 2 down from 3 initially. You know, it just looked like same old Giants Sunday night with some of the dysfunction that they have. I look at their ongoing defensive issues, and I think Matty Ice is going to have himself a good day picking them apart here. I like Atlanta on the road. They have some ghosts to slay here in terms of that ugly playoff game at the Meadowlands a couple of years ago. I like what Dan Quinn is doing here. You've kind of talked about this with what Dallas did last year, and I've sort of made the analogy that maybe defenses are getting to be like bullpens in baseball, where improvement from one year to the next with younger players can be hard to see coming. Dan Quinn is damn sure going to get the most out of what he has with the Falcons here. I think he's going to suppress the Giants enough for the Atlanta offense to take them over the top. I like the Falcons getting the 2 Sunday.
This is your podcast, Rick Morris. It is the FDH. I am only a guest in the FDH lounge. So I ask you this. Can I swear right now? Can I
holler
at an Audi word?
Listen, you're a fellow. All members of the ensemble have the same rights. Go for it, buddy. It's an ensemble.
The fucking Giants, man. that was what set off my string of texts to you on Sunday. When I picked them to win the NFC East, that was a game, week one, that I had them winning. And I picked them, and they did cash, by the way. That was one of my 4 winners last week, taking the Giants plus.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wire-to-wire cover. But my God, you get all those breaks, and you can't close the deal. That's really, really disheartening to do. And so I'm kind of revisiting them. That's why, like, that coupled with Tampa Bay's stink bomb of a performance, I was like, well, there goes my 2 breakout candidates this year in the NFC. But I think the line dropping below 3 here, there is a little value on the Giants. It did not make a recommendation because I am worried about a bit of a hangover from the Cowboys game. At the same time, though, Atlanta was a winner for me as well last week, you recall. I had the Falcons.
Right.
There were some ghosts of Falcons pass in the second half of that game, though. You talk about Dan Quinn getting the most he can out of this defense. Whew. There were times that second half, Ricky, where, again, it looked like Atlanta had no linebackers on the field. They kind of were wheezing in the second half. I thought they were lucky to beat the Eagles, quite frankly. So I'm staying away here.
Don't blame you. Up next, the 1-0 Dolphins at the 0-1 Jaguars, 4:05 Eastern at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Andrew Catalan, Steve Kasker, Steve Berline with the call on CBS. This is a game where Miami is laying 6 up from the 4.5 initially. That line move, I'm sure, having a lot more to do with a negative reaction to Jacksonville rather than a positive reaction to Miami, because they beat Washington but didn't look like the team that was the highlight of all the hipsters out there this year. Miami's been a team for everybody to get behind, and they didn't look like it for a good chunk of Sunday. I'm a little bit weary of this. Again, to me, it's almost a why ask why, laying close to a touchdown as poorly as they looked. But I think there's value in Jacksonville getting the 6. Miami's got to show it to me before I think they can lay something like this on the road to anybody. I'll take the Jags and the 6.
I tell you, with that anti-Dolphins rant, you sounded a lot like your boy Mike Wilmot on Twitter last week. him going, why is everybody on the Dolphins this year? Why does everyone think they're so good? They don't look so good to me. That actually made me like the Dolphins more.
You're
making me rethink.
Yeah, that made me like the Dolphins a lot more. That being said, they did win on a special teams touchdown in a very uninspired performance over Washington. You're right. I agree with you totally here. This line is going to hit 7. The public is all over the Dolphins because they were one of the two teams that really came through for the public last week in that game against Washington. They were laying a few points less to the Redskins, which isn't a surprise since the Jaguars are perceived to be even worse than the Redskins. Pardon the Washington football team. I apologize for that slur there,
Redskins.
Everybody. So it's not a surprise to me the public's coming back on the Dolphins here. I think they get burned after they got lucky last week. This line will go to 7. Hold your nose, sports fans, and take the 7. This is my, I believe, oh no, this is my 5th. I have one more recommendation to come. This is my 5th recommendation. Of course I'm taking the Jaguars as the home dog. Why not? I laid off last week. Yeah. I couldn't do it 2 weeks.
All right. So there will be one more in our 6 games remaining that you will be going to. Up next, it's the 0-1.
Six games. Oh, boy.
0-1 Ravens at the 0-1 Raiders, 4:05 Eastern time at Ocho Coliseum. The Trios team of Spiro Dedis, Solomon Wilcots, and Scott Kaplan on the call on CBS as we rematch the AFC Championship game where Tony Siragusa took the cheap shot on Rich Gannon's shoulder and cheated to put the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Not that I'm bitter about that, mind you, or have a memory. This is one where the Raiders are getting 6 up from 5.5 initially. Again, I buried the Raiders before, but by the same token, I'm not hugely impressed with the Ravens either at this point. Traveling west for this encounter again off of the Denver thing, I'll admit, you've got me looking to travel a little bit more. They're going to Oakland the week after going to Denver. Could be a little discombobulated. Give me the Raiders getting the 6. I guess I never learned.
This line just came out today, and by today we are recording this on Wednesday. So
yes.
I got no take here whatsoever. I'm a little leery of laying the points with the Ravens too. At the same time, you just don't know how Carr's going to perform for the Raiders. They looked worse than expected, as you said earlier on in this program.
They did. They were horrible. The Fox game of the week, the 1-0 Cowboys at the 0-1 Eagles, 4:25 Eastern time at the Link in Philly on Fox, the A-team of Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews on the call. This is one where Philadelphia is laying 5 points up from 3. Initially, the Cowboys are in a situation right now, and I understand the kind of stampede away from them. The running game was kind of uneven Sunday night. Now they're without Dez Bryant. Still kind of feels like an overreaction, though, and I'm curious why there's not more of an overreaction. Everybody seemed to expect Philly to go in and just lay waste to Atlanta, and they lost outright. So the Cowboys, we've talked about this before in terms of them being a public team, but I think it's more public reaction rather than necessarily favoritism. Good or bad, it seems like the Cowboys are magnified, and I think this line magnifies the bad with Dallas right now. I like them getting the 5 in this one.
Just in case anyone was sleeping under a rock or happened to be on Mars last Sunday night, the bad that you're referring to is Dez Bryant being injured and not playing.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Everyone's clear. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like the line move at all. It's too many points. That being said, Philly should bounce back. But it is a short week, too, for them. And you can probably, well, guess one of them. You're probably going to be able to guess who the answer is, given that I'm bringing it up right now. Since 2010, who is the best coach in the league as an underdog?
Why, that would be Jason Garrett, I'm sure.
It is. It is Jason Garrett, yes. Yes, it is.
Jason Garrett of University School in Cleveland, by the way, a nice North Coast
reference.
Yeah, he's
also, interestingly enough, one of the worst as a favorite, and last week they didn't cover. So it's a very interesting dichotomy with Dallas, what kind of playing off what you just talked about.
I think they only teach you how to cover as a dog at a university school. That's what I'm guessing anyway.
Okay.
I'll have to check on the curriculum there. We skip to the Monday night game because the Sunday night game involves one of my big 3. This is the last before then. It's the 1-0 Jets at the 0-1 Colts. 8:30 Eastern time, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Tirico Gruden, Lisa Salters on the call. This is a game where Indianapolis is laying 7 up from 5.5. Initially, and in looking at this again,
Indianapolis, again, showed me nothing last week. The Jets, I think we can look at part of this and say, okay, it was against the Browns. But the defensive part of the equation is something that, again, I think is not as easily dismissed as what Ryan Fitzpatrick and the offense were able to do. And Indianapolis, coming off of being brutalized by the Buffalo defense, now particularly, again, dealing with this front four that the Jets have, how are the Jets going to, or how are the Colts going to establish enough of a run game, which was kind of shaky last week, to be able to open things up for Andrew Luck at all? This is one that, again, I think Indianapolis will win outright, but I'm shocked that I'm only saying I think they will win, because coming in, you know, before last week, I wouldn't have had any doubts about that whatsoever. But I have enough doubts that I would say I like the 7 with the Jets here. The line feels very inflated to me.
Yeah, I would gather that by Monday afternoon, this is going to be over 7. I think it's already heading there. I think so. I think one place has, I'm looking here, has it 7.5 already. I would bet that, you know, after some people maybe have some hard Sundays, they're going to bet the Colts up here. Maybe you wait till then to take the Jets, but until now, I'm passing. The Jets got a lot of help from the Browns last week, so I'm not ready to endorse them. But I do agree with you in that they are a similar style team to the Bills, and the Colts clearly struggled with that style last week. So I'm passing here, at least for now. I'm
exactly. Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking here, too, is that defensively, yeah, there might be some echoes of that. And, of course, the common thread of Rex Ryan, who has coached both defenses in the last year, but the similarities do go beyond that. Up next for my big three games here, where I was 2-1 last week, we lead off with the Robert Griffin Bowl. It's the 1-0 Rams at the 0-1 Redskins, 1 o'clock Eastern time at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland on Fox. And USA Today Sports Weekly does not list who's on the call here, but I will posit that perhaps it is a 5-time lounge guest Kenny Albert, since I haven't seen him in any of the other lineups here to this point. So we'll just go with that, I suppose, as far as speculation goes. And your speculation about what side I have on this one is absolutely right. The Rams are laying 3, up from 2.5 initially. And this is one where, again, sometimes the road favorites have bitten me, and sometimes my faith in the Rams have bitten me. I went against them last week, and it's a thing. The Rams are one of these teams where whatever I think they're going to do, they go the other way. So this is very dangerous for me, because I have cursed them in recent years for any time I put any faith in them betraying me. This feels like a letdown, but I'll tell you what, particularly with Kirk Cousins' ongoing issues with turnovers, and what the Rams defense is doing here. I look for another low-scoring game along the lines of the Washington-Miami tilt last week, but I think the Rams are going to have enough here to be able to get the job done offensively, even as their own running game is going to be kind of a work in progress for the season here. Alfred Morris having a good game last week. I don't think he's going to be able to replicate that against the front 7, which is fearsome, of the Rams. I like them to cover the 3 on the road.
Don't like this game, and you touched on it a little bit. The Rams' history of following up huge unexpected wins over good teams with equally inexplicable losses to bad teams. So I'm staying away.
All right. We go to the Sunday night game here, where this is, again, in some people's minds, a matchup of the top 2 teams in the NFC
again this year. There you go again.
The 0-1 Seahawks at the 1-0 Packers, 8:30 Eastern time from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. NBC's team of Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya on the call. A game that should do mega numbers for NBC, maybe the highest of the year for them when you look at the matchup of these teams. Green Bay is laying 3.5, up from 3 initially. I tell you what, Kyle, again, it goes a little bit beyond the absence of one man, but Cam Chancellor being a glue guy in the secondary there for Seattle. We saw it play out last week. The off-season deal with Earl Thomas, he looks like he's healed up pretty good here. He looks like that's not going to be as big of an issue, but again, you know, Chancellor is a force multiplier on that defense. They're different without him. The offense is still trying to kind of find their way in terms of their new identity. They really didn't work Jimmy Graham in that efficiently last week. It's hard to see circumstances where Seattle starts the season 0-2, but as has been proven in times past, that's not a death knell if you really are a great team. I still think Seattle's making the playoffs, albeit as a wild card, but I don't like them to get off the schneid in this game here. Aaron Rodgers picked apart for a good part of the NFC Championship game what was a better defense than he's going to be seeing here at home Sunday night, where he's very tough. I like the Pack laying the 3.5. It could definitely be more than that in my estimation.
Well, look, it's weird because, you know, 3.5 in the grand scheme of things is not huge, but I just can't go against the Seahawks as a dog. But at the same time, I can't disagree with anything you said. The Packers are going to be so fired up, finally getting Seattle at home. Remember, they've had to go to Seattle, I believe, the last three times these teams have played, including that very painful NFC Championship game loss. The Packers are going to treat this as if it was an NFC Championship game, I think. And the Seahawks are going to be 0-2 after this game. It's just a question of whether they lose by a field goal or more than a field goal. I pass, though. I will be a scared coward, in the immortal words of Mike Tyson.
Motivationally, too, this is very interesting as well. Both teams ending last season in some of the biggest heartbreak in recent NFL memory. But for the Packers, it was at the hands of the Seahawks. So that motivation ties into this game here. The Seahawks, that won't tie into any of their games because they're not playing the Patriots in the regular season. We come next to my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 2. My lock pick was 0-1 for Week 1. It is the 1-0 49ers at the 0-1 Steelers. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Oh, here it is. Kenny Albert, Daryl Johnson, and the lovely Tandora Oakman on the call in this game. All right, so I wonder who Fox's tandem is on the other game. We shall see. This is one where the Squealers are laying 5.5, had been 6.5 initially. I went against the 49ers last week for my lock pick, and, of course, again, it bit me. I'm going to make it 2 weeks in a row here. And, again, showing that there is no bias on my part here. Everyone knows how much I hate Pittsburgh. Everyone knows how much I hate Baltimore and, to a certain extent, Denver and some other teams here. But for me to take Pittsburgh shows that I am being unbiased. But everything that you've said about the 1 o'clock thing for West Coast teams, again, I think that a lot of people are prematurely rethinking their assessment of the 49ers based on Monday night. My fluco-meter was exploding watching that game here. They won't sustain it again. Steelers will roll on them Sunday.
Last week, I went against your lock of the week. I had the Niners. I loved that. That was one of those games where if I had been wrong, I actually would have completely lost faith in how I bet football games. I was pretty confident in the Niners. But as you know, I picked them to have a very bad record this year. I think that what happened last week could be their version of what Tennessee did to Kansas City last year in Week 1. There ain't going to be many more bright spots for the Niners. I cannot believe this line is coming down. It is a complete overreaction to a win on national TV. The Steelers moved the ball really well against New England. They just gagged at the end of drives. They had some missed field goals. I think the Steelers just roll the Niners here. As you know, I have one more recommendation left, and it is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think this one gets ugly, quite frankly.
I think so as well. Keep in mind also, too, with how much of this San Francisco offense looks to be built around Carlos Hyde, they are not built to come back. If Pittsburgh jumps out to a lead, this game is going to be over very, very early because stylistically San Francisco counts on being in the game or ahead or just narrowly behind if they're going to have any chance. But, yeah, that's my lock pick, joined in my big three by St. Louis and Green Bay. This is a pick for you, of course, along with Kansas City on Thursday night and the other picks being Tampa Bay, Chicago, Tennessee, Jacksonville, a real rogues gallery there for
it always is a rogues gallery, isn't it, Ricky, at this point of the show? I always leave you at the rogues gallery.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see how it plays out for week two. Again, week one, you were 4-2. Week one, I was 7-8-1. 2-1 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock. We look forward to more success this week. It was looking rough for you for a period of time on Sunday, but some of your picks did rally here. And again, you came out of it with a two-thirds winning percentage. So well done for the start, my friend.
Yep, 2-0 Monday sweep. Loved it. Looked good. And, you know, again, it was funny. It was one of those games where even though I won the bet, I was really mad at the end with the Giants. So, nice rally. I think this week we started early with Kansas City and we don't let up on them. Let's do it, Ricky, and I'll talk to you again this time next week.
We'll do that. Thank you very much, Kyle. Appreciate it as always. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge mini episode number 604.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.